talking with Dr. Daniels. It is Sunday, December 11th, 2016. Boy, time flies. Okay, and today's topic is maybe it's not your thyroid. Now, this is a topic that has really troubled me for, I guess, really about 30 years. As many of you know, I went to medical school in the United States, University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine. And golly geez, was I excited to find out that there was a disease that medicine could cure. We had a drug, levothyroxine, that would cure underactive thyroid by adding back the missing hormone. And I said, yes, yes, this is something that we can really make an impact on. And as many of you know, part of going to medical school is actually the clinical part where you see patients. And boy, was I excited to talk to these patients who were on thyroid medicine, only to find that most of them still felt pretty darn lousy. Yep. Pretty darn lousy. And I was really just totally disappointed. And I said to myself, well, what are we gonna do? You know, now what? Of course, there was the standard answer, which is that more research was being done. Yes, more research was being done. And then I entered medical practice with, of course, more research being done, all these thyroid people not getting any results. And I was so frustrated with this that I would refer anyone who had abnormal thyroid values to the endocrinologist. That's the expert. That's the person who has 3 years additional training, more training than I do, and who is board certified in endocrinology and diseases just like this. And you know what happened? You probably guessed it. The person was returned to me from the specialist on, of course, a prescription for levothyroxine, and the person was feeling even worse than when I sent them. And so I scratched my head and I said, well, let me see if I can't be of a little bit of help here. And what happened was people would come to me, and if they had slightly abnormal thyroid tests, and many of you know there's the TSH, thyroid stimulating hormone, T3, reverse T3, T4, these are all tests that can be done. But the test is the TSH, and if that one is out of whack, then boom, they have the diagnosis. And so it turns out, I didn't know it, and the specialist didn't tell me, but if the TSH is less than 10, even though it might be abnormal, there is no benefit to treating the person's condition. In other words, you could give the person the treatment for having abnormal lab values, but it would not translate into clinical benefit, longevity, or more comfort on the part of the patient. Very, very interesting. And so what gave me the impetus or encouragement to have this topic today is this email, of course, sent to your doctor too, on November 14th, 2016. And it says, time for a U-turn on levothyroxine, the cure for underactive thyroid. Overuse is rife, says the doctors. And this is published by Medscape Family Medicine. Thank God it's in English so I can read it. But basically what they are saying is that many people on levothyroxine don't need it. They just don't need it. So let's take a look and see what the medical industrial complex has to say. As always, I don't make accusations, just take confessions. So, using levothyroxine to treat subclinical, that means people who have no symptoms. Hypothyroidism, that means it's only, so subclinical disease is a disease that's evident by laboratory tests only and the person feels perfectly fine. So should be considered on a patient-by-patient basis and started only after at least two thyroid-stimulating hormone tests show an abnormal result, urges a group of clinicians concerned about overuse of the drug. Now, I left medicine back in the year 2000. An overuse of levothyroxine has been an issue, or people have been concerned about it, since 2013. This is now 2016, that's 3 years. But for many years, it was the number one prescribed drug. There has been an explosion in prescriptions for levothyroxine in recent years, largely driven by guidelines recommending the treatment of subclinical increases in TSH, thyroid-stimulating hormone levels, even in the absence of symptoms, they say. Now, obviously, if you have a person who's feeling fine, it's kind of tough to get them feeling better. And this is part of the reason, of course, why treating people with no symptoms is not a benefit to them. The other thing that's been observed is they simply are not living longer with this treatment. However, there is scant evidence, and scant evidence, this is a pretty strong term in medicine, scant, for a medical industrial complex document or information piece to say that there's scant evidence is a pretty harsh statement. You can read that as no evidence, because with statistics and other smoke and mirrors, they manufacture evidence out of really not very much evidence. So if they're admitting up front that there is scant evidence, that means there's really none to support a benefit from treatment, which may expose patients to ongoing out-of-pocket expenses as well as adverse effects, particularly in older patients who naturally have higher TSH levels. And so what they're saying then is this test is, in many cases, unreliable. So tests can be abnormal, but does not reflect the presence of disease. There is substantial uncertainty I'll repeat that. There is substantial uncertainty. That means, basically, it's worse than a coin toss. That means the doctors don't know. That means there is no scientific evidence supporting a decision either way. And complexity associated with the technical aspects of identifying otherwise healthy people affected by mild, nonspecific symptoms who would benefit from levothyroxine. All right, so that's a pretty big mouthful. So what you're saying is substantial uncertainty. That means there's no scientific evidence that would support labeling otherwise healthy people who have symptoms and giving them levothyroxine. So there are people out there who have a lot of symptoms. I mean, a lot of stuff that they're complaining about, that they're not healthy, for example, or they don't feel good, yet their thyroid tests are normal. And so this person is saying there's just no scientific evidence that treating these people with thyroxine is beneficial. And this is an endocrinologist speaking. And she's from the Mayo Clinic, one of my favorite places for reliable information. Reliable medical information, anyway. This uncertainty, that means lack of scientific evidence, and complexity, that means lots of conflicting practices and habits, calls for policies, that means rules imposed by people who have power, that would be government, drug companies, that invite patients and clinicians to enroll in clinical trials, research, to assess the effectiveness of levothyroxine use, rather than to the routine, expanding, and prolonged use of a treatment of uncertain value. Read, no value, they state. Now, what's going on here is the standard of care is to test people who have no symptoms for thyroid disease and start treating them. And so this is what they're suggesting here, is let's change the standard of care. And you can't change the standard of care unless you call for research. So they're calling for research. As well as recommending that physicians adopt a precautionary, patient-centered approach. In other words, don't always follow the standard of care. Focus on, is this going to help the patient? Well, there's news. When considering starting someone on the drug, it's also important that patients understand what's driving these prescriptions and be more aware. And the scientific and research community realizes that we have to do something. So something's got to be done about this. But so they're cautiously suggesting the doctor not follow the standard of care. Well, wait a minute. Who writes the standard of care? The drug companies write it. Hospitals write it. Insurance companies write it. So who stands to benefit from cutting back the use of a particular drug? Answer, the insurance companies, because they've already got the money. They just don't want to pay the claims. They don't want to pay for the office visits. They don't want to pay for the laboratory tests, which can often dwarf or equal to the price of the drug. So in the meantime, decisions still have to be made, says Dr. Rodriguez, involving the patient in the discussion to see not only the benefits, of which we are not very sure, in other words, there aren't any benefits, but also the harms and the costs and inconvenience is key. And then a decision can be made together as to whether to test and ultimately treat. So in other words, they're suggesting maybe we shouldn't even be screening people for thyroid disease. And so it says, while the prevalence of overt hypothyroidism is low, we'll call it 2%, the highest of the population, and its incidence is stable, the authors point out the number of prescriptions for levothyroxine has increased substantially in recent years and is now the most prescribed drug in the United States with 120 million prescriptions written in 2014. So now, you probably don't know, but the standard of care for thyroid prescriptions is to prescribe it for 3 months and renew it every 3 months. So that would be 4 prescriptions per year per person taking this. So if you have 120 million prescriptions written, you divide that by 4, and more or less 30 million Americans, more or less 10% of Americans, are using levothyroxine. That's a lot. Now, when I was in medical practice, I used to go through this annual exercise. And it was kind of like a practice checkup. So every year, I would go to the library, medical school library, and I would check to see what the top 10 causes of death were. And I would make sure, then review my method of treating patients to make sure that my patients were not going to succumb to any of those 10 leading causes of death. The next thing I do is I take a look at the top 10 drugs that are prescribed that year. And I found a very disturbing trend. So when I was practicing medicine from 1990 to 2000, 10-year stretch, I found that the leading drug prescribed was, well, Valium. Yep, Valium. And the important thing to understand about Valium is it is a drug where the decision to prescribe it is not based on a laboratory test. It is simply arbitrary and capricious, simply the whim of the doctor and or patient. That's it. And now we find, and it's not related to any particular symptoms. So no one has any symptoms, even, I don't say symptoms, but a disease or illness, objectively measurable illness, for which Valium would be prescribed. And so fast forward to, this is 2016, 2014, the most prescribed drug was the cholesterol drugs. And again, the prescribing drugs for a condition the person does not have. So the cholesterol being elevated is believed to be a risk factor for yet another condition, which is heart disease. So the actual elevation of the cholesterol in and of itself is actually not a disease. And so when you have a drug, this number one prescribed drug, the mandatory requirement is, of course, that it must be a drug that's prescribed in the absence of disease of any kind. And so we see this is true of the cholesterol drugs and, of course, of Valium. And so I thought to myself, huh, could this be true of the thyroid medicine? Could thyroid medicine be getting prescribed totally in the absence of any disease? Now, another thing to take a look at is 10% of the population is taking thyroid medicine. Only 2% of the population has thyroid disease. So what we're saying here then is literally 80% of the people who are taking thyroid medicine don't need it. And so 1 in 5 people who's taking thyroid medicine actually has a condition for which the medicine is believed to be helpful. So now the way we got this is by looking at the number of prescriptions written, working back to percent of population, comparing that to percent of population with documented disease. Okay. Yet the guidelines are not backed up by data. So what are the guidelines? So there are several guidelines have driven the increase in prescriptions, doctors say. Subclinical hypothyroidism affects 12% of the adult population. Current guidelines say that those with TSH more than 10 or those with TSH between 5.5 and 10 should receive treatment. Now we know, again, TSH less than 10, 10 or less, no documented benefit. However, people who have symptoms and their thyroid test is, say, 9, which is still not normal, treat those people. However, there's no evidence these symptoms, of course, are related to the thyroid. So these guidelines are not backed up by data. So doctors argue there's a lack of evidence to suggest that there's a clear benefit of levothyroxine outside of patients with thyroid cancer. And thyroid cancer, for your information, they treat by destroying the thyroid and creating an underactive thyroid. And thyroid cancer, just for your information, let's remind you, we discovered that they were reclassifying the papillary thyroid cancer as a non-cancerous condition. So now we have this thyroid cancer diagnosis complicated by the discovery, the decision that much thyroid cancer is actually not cancer. And so, of course, those people definitely don't need levothyroxine, right? Because they never had cancer. They never should have even had their thyroid gland destroyed by the doctor with radioactive iodine. So, in other words, this problem gets bigger and bigger. The problem of using levothyroxine in people who don't need it. Adding to the pressure, researchers note that the American Thyroid Association recommends that asymptomatic men and women over 35 should be screened for thyroid dysfunction every 5 years, which has led to a surge in thyroid tests.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
I have actually been on Balance of Nature for a year now. I have MS, and I recently had an MRI. This is the first year that I've had a stable MRI, so I'm thrilled. When I have an MRI with MS, usually there are glowing spots that come through, which is damage on the nerves in my brain and my spinal cord, and when they're glowing, it means they're active. And then my last MRI, they pulled it up, and I honestly couldn't believe that it was my MRI. There was nothing glowing. And in fact, the dark spots were shrinking. They were healing. And the doctor actually said to me, I think we're in remission. I was so happy. I had no idea that that could be my reality.
Call now to find out how to get your free month supply of Balance of Nature. Call 800-2468-751. That's 800-2468-751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com.
Use promo code TSL. We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Give such delight. We all live before.
Hi, Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. Okay, so we're talking about the overprescription of thyroid medication. And so one big thing is they've now advocated the screening of men and women over 35 years of age for thyroid disease. Now, I'll tell you, way back in the dark ages, this would be the 90s, when I was in medical practice and, of course, the 80s when I was in medical school and residency, if someone had underactive thyroids, chances were 90% that it was a woman, because there was no screening. If you didn't show up to the doctor complaining about tiredness, constipation, being overweight, dry skin, then the test for thyroid just was not done. In the 90s, it turned into really a screening test, a test you gave to just everyone as part of their annual physical. And the rationale was, well, you know, this is one thing. If we find it, by golly, we can treat it. We've got that thyroid supplement, which is the levothyroxine. So then they went on to say, to make it a mandatory screening test, the standard of care. And so they say, as a result, the proportion of patients being treated has increased in recent years. In the United Kingdom, they give some stats. They don't give us U.S. stats. So in the United Kingdom, 31% of treated patients had normal thyroxine values and no symptoms or abnormal heart problems. So that's pretty outrageous. But the doctors point out that elevated TSH levels normalize in about 60% of cases without intervention. So if you leave 60% of people with elevated thyroid levels untreated, those levels will come back to normal. I'll tell you another thing. Once you treat with levothyroxine, it becomes much more difficult for those levels to come back to normal. Because now, when you have a normal thyroid, that thyroid has got to suppress its activity in order for you to be healthy, because this extra external thyroid is being added into the system. And so what can cause an elevated TSH level? So an elevated TSH means your thyroid is underactive. So it's an inverse relationship between the test and the condition. So the higher the level of the test, the lower the thyroid function is, just by the way. And so this can be caused by normal variation in TSH levels, passing of an illness like the flu, drug use, many medications can cause it, environmental and stress factors, among other things. In addition, again, healthy elderly people have been shown to have naturally higher TSH levels. So there's all these non-disease causes or non-thyroid causes of an elevated TSH. Of course, the other issue is the symptoms of both subclinical and overt hypothyroidism are only present in 10% of cases of hypothyroidism. So, or in other words, if someone has dry skin, hair loss, constipation, aches and pains, and tiredness, fewer than 10% of those people are going to actually have a thyroid problem. Even though those are the symptoms of an underactive thyroid, they're so vague that in most cases they have nothing to do with the thyroid gland. So therefore, symptoms might not reliably identify those who can benefit from levothyroxine treatment. And this is what I have found myself. Actually, being in medical practice, I was just stunned and disappointed by how few people with abnormal thyroid tests and bothersome symptoms got relief with levothyroxine. Finally, levothyroxine has therapeutic consequences, they add. In older patients, treatment can result in problems such as overactive thyroid, increasing risk of heart rhythm disturbances, chest pain, bone loss, and fractures. And so it's a shame to treat someone with a drug that's of no benefit to them, and then they get these problems, especially in the elderly, like broken bones. I was talking to a lady a few weeks back who was taking thyroid medicine, and she's very happy that she was on the natural version, and she was working. I'll tell you more when we get back.
Are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Only a fool would go to a plumber for brain surgery. But otherwise intelligent people use internet searches to find such gems as Lee Harvey Oswald killed JFK with 3 shots from the rear and 1 shot from the front. They get similar financial guidance when they are investigating cryptocurrencies. RBN listeners know that American currency has not been lawful money for nearly 50 years, since the thieves at the Fed stole the silver out of the coins and began reneging on redeemable notes in 1968. Now that the dollar has just about inflated totally away and banks want reverse interest to keep your books, the high-tech world has brought you an alternative. What if you could buy, sell, and trade with fellow business people from your home with zero bank fees? If you believe banking tyranny must end, then join the digital currency movement now. Call investigative journalist Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
And welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. Okay, so we're looking at this incredible overuse of levothyroxine, which is hormone replacement for an underactive thyroid. And this has just really plagued me, because I just can't tell you. People come to me and say, oh, I have Hashimoto's. Oh, I have an underactive thyroid. Well, you know, I'm pretty sure it's my thyroid. And the truth is, it's almost never your thyroid. It's almost never your thyroid. Only 2% of Americans have actual thyroid disease. Now, other Americans may have fatigue, constipation, dry skin, brittle hair, no question. But do they have thyroid disease? Probably not. All right, so let's take a look and see what the medical industrial complex says. So we've talked over the problems that it has in elderly with really no no benefits. So a lot of problems, no benefits, especially for the elderly. So they also recommend that due to the potential for TSH levels to normalize over time, all patients with abnormally high TSH concentrations that are consistent with subclinical hypothyroidism should have the test repeated. Ideally, at the same lab, 3 to 6 months before treatment is considered. Well, wait a minute. At the same lab, what does that mean? That means that they are well aware of the high degree of variation from laboratory to laboratory to laboratory. So one lab can tell you, TSH is normal, whereas the other laboratory's test will show, problem over here. So they're saying, hey, use the same lab for consistency. And so we have here the implication, the suggestion, the test itself may not even be reliable or valid. And they're saying, moreover, it should be recognized that patients with nonspecific symptoms and normal thyroid function tests do not benefit from levothyroxine therapy. This is important. You may have all the symptoms of underactive thyroid, but if your thyroid tests are normal, it is not your thyroid, and it is not to your benefit to accept a prescription from anyone for levothyroxine or any other hormone replacement like Armour Thyroid or anything else, natural or synthetic. Not a good idea. If such treatment is started, and we just said it doesn't need to be started, but if it is, the authors recommend the lowest dose of a generic preparation, that means inexpensive, levothyroxine should be used and reassessed periodically to determine its efficacy. So we see here, again, the insurance company bias. All right. If you're going to use it, even when it's not needed, at least get the generic and use the lowest dose. In the meantime, the authors call for much needed research. I love this. On the effectiveness of levothyroxine. And the doctor explains, what we need now is a pragmatic comparative effectiveness study. Huh! Let me tell you. A comparative effectiveness study means to compare the effectiveness of one treatment with another treatment, in this case, no treatment. And so when I was in medical school, all these drug reps would descend upon us. And of course, in medical school, it's very expensive to go to medical school. No one really has enough money. And the easiest way to save money is, well, cut back on your food, which is what I did. I was eating every other day. And so these drug reps would come and feed us. But as I was eating this food that they bought for us, I would say, wait a minute, this doesn't make any sense. Why don't we just, we got 15 different antibiotics here. Why don't we just do comparative studies of these antibiotics in, say, ear infections? Because who cuts open a kid's eardrum, takes a sample of the fluid behind the ear, and cultures it to figure out what organism is actually causing the ear infection? Nobody does. So since most of our prescriptions for antibiotics were being used empirically without knowing what the organism was, why don't we do comparative, called head-to-head trials, of each one of these antibiotics? Because that's the information that I, as a doctor, need. And so, of course, I asked this question of the professors, because I knew that the government could do research, a lot of folks could do research. And I said, Dr. Daniels, you know, research is ongoing, and you know, that's just not the kind of study that you know, the researchers are doing right now. And so basically, there's this unwritten agreement to not do head-to-head studies and not disqualify any particular drug from use for a particular application. And so for these authors to call for a pragmatic comparative effectiveness study is laughable, considering the history of medicine, the history of research. But it's nice for them to bring this up. And should the insurance companies have enough clout, who knows, maybe they'll be able to get such a thing done. And so he said the idea would be to have a multi-center study, that means everybody gets paid, with different clinical scenarios, including people with subclinical hypothyroidism, and then give them the treatment and see what happens on outcomes that matter to them. The outcome that matters to them is not TSH, it's quality of life, he stressed. You know, I thought this too, but people have been so conditioned by the educational systems, everybody wants a good mark, everybody wants a good score. People literally want to make sure their numbers are good. I want to make sure my numbers are all normal. And when I try and draw people's attention to quality of life instead of numbers, I get a fair amount of resistance. And so this guy might be shocked to find out that people actually do care about these numbers. They've actually been conditioned to care more about the number than what the number pretends to measure, which, of course, is quality of life. So I say such a study will require an enormous effort from probably multiple researchers, he concluded. That means lots of money for everybody. And, of course, the authors report no relevant financial relationships. And we can always, as now usual, we can follow them on Twitter and Facebook, of all places. But this is... this is the issue that faces people when they go to see their doctors and complain. And so this is another reference, Pulse Today. This is in Europe, in the UK. That would be United Kingdom or England. 1/3 of patients on levothyroxine have no reason to take the drug, claim researchers. And so this is on the other side of the pond. But on our side of the pond, we can, again, we can empirically calculate based on the prescriptions written, how many people are on the drug. And so UK researchers claim that up to 1/3 of patients in primary care taking levothyroxine could be prescribed the drugs without an accepted indication. Now, not so much in defense of the doctors, but just to explain the system, doctors are so frustrated when they see these people who have classic symptoms of underactive thyroid and the test comes back normal. Many doctors try the levothyroxine anyway in hopes of giving the person some relief. Of course, 1/3 of the people are going to get relief because of the placebo effect, because they know the doctor cares. But the fact of the matter is these people, they do have a problem, but it is not their thyroid. Yeah, here it is. Among the 67% of patients who also had free T4 data available, around 30% had a levothyroxine level prescribed, a TSH level below 10, and with T4 in the reference range. This indicates subclinical hypothyroidism, despite having no classic hypothyroidism symptoms or heart risk factors. And the researchers say their results show an increasing trend towards prescribing levothyroxine in patients with subclinical hypothyroidism, where the evidence base is weak and the risk outweigh the benefits. And again, weak evidence in medical parlance is pretty incriminating. That's pretty atrocious. And this, by the way, is October 15th, 2013. And so this is something that's been well known for some time, I have to say. So as many of you know, I was a family practice doctor. So I had this patient who came to the office. She felt, oh, just atrocious. Did a thyroid, a TSH level. It was elevated at about 6. Sent her off to the expert, the thyroid guy, and, of course, he recommended no therapy. And she came back in a few months later, same problem. All these symptoms, thyroid-related, and, you know, all of her tests were normal. And so when I was being investigated by the state, what happens is when you're under investigation by the state, there are patients who say, oh, yeah, that's a bad doctor. Let me go sue her. And so she hired a lawyer to sue me for not treating her elevated or abnormal thyroid test. This is very, of course, I referred the lawyer and everyone to the specialist, and that was the end of that. It didn't go anywhere. However, people are so conditioned to beg for lethal therapy, and they are so conditioned to focus on these numbers that it actually people are very aggressive in terms of activating all kinds of legal pathways to make sure that they get killed according to the standard of care, or at least harmed. And here's another reference, People's Pharmacy. New study reveals why 1 in 6 hypothyroid patients still feels bad on levothyroxine. And so they're saying, oh, we didn't give enough drugs, let's add T3 to the T4. And sometimes it does help, but in more cases, usually, the problem is that the thyroid is not the problem. And so this is a huge, huge issue. So what is the problem? If it's not the thyroid, what is the problem? And as you might imagine, even while I still had a license, this troubled me, and I gave it some of my mental real estate. In other words, I spent time actually thinking about this. So one time a young lady came in. She was 20-something, and she was actually the daughter of a friend of mine who I happen to know was not too, the friend of mine wasn't too keen on drugs. And so her thyroid tests were elevated, and she had a list of symptoms, you know, tired, constipated, you know, dry skin. I said, okay, well, let's just try on some thyroid medicine. So I put on some thyroid medicine, and she said she felt better, which was nice. And then after about 3 months of this, I said, well, of course, she stopped noticing a benefit. So I said to her, you know what? Why don't we just take you off this stuff? Why don't we just take you off this thyroid medicine? And why don't we just give you a different diet? Why don't we take you off the standard American college diet and put you on a diet of fresh fruits and vegetables that you cook yourself? And here's a hot tip. You can use a crock pot in that dorm room. Yep. Mm-hmm. And, you know, free yourself from that dining hall, which is not the best places. Well, didn't her TSH become normal and she no longer needed thyroid drugs? Well, that taught me a real lesson that a lot of times it's not the thyroid, even when the TSH does appear to be elevated, especially if it's slightly elevated, like less than 10. And so then another thing happened. As many of you know, I do work with people on a one-on-one basis. And so person after person would come to me on natural testosterone, natural estrogen, natural thyroid, and having been diagnosed by a alternative complementary doctor as having hormone imbalances and basically being given every hormone under the sun. And of course, the person was still not feeling any better. And so I listened to these stories and I said, maybe it's not the thyroid. Maybe it's not the estrogen. Maybe it's not the hormones at all. Sure enough, improve the person's diet. Give them some licorice root to kick that adrenal gland into high gear, some milk thistle to scrub out that liver, and some vitality capsules to clean out the small intestine, large intestine, and bile ducts so the liver can get to work and do its job. Lo and behold, energy returns, people feel better, they're able to stop their all-natural bioidentical hormones, their estrogen, their progesterone. They're able to stop their natural iodine. Very, very interesting. And so it seems then that the thyroid gland, surprise, does not act alone, and that you can have an abnormal TSH because the thyroid is unable to do its job because the adrenal gland isn't doing its job or the liver is not doing its job. Very, very interesting. The other thing that I found is that when people have a thyroid gland that is out of whack, let's just say, or thyroid-type symptoms, applying turpentine directly to the thyroid actually cleans out the thyroid gland and helps the thyroid gland recover. And this is in people who have never had, either who've never had thyroid replacement or people who've had minimal thyroid replacement. It seems that there's something that happens in people when they get thyroid replacement greater than 0.050 milligrams. In other words, greater than 50 microgram dose, that their thyroid gets severely depressed. But in a person who's been diagnosed with all these things and for whatever reason refused to take hormone therapy or took very low dose hormone therapy, they seem to get very, they do very nicely with modifications in their diet and really minimal support in terms of supplementation. But the shocking thing is, even in the United States, it appears that 80% of the time, it's not your thyroid. And that is a real, real shocker. So I just want to remind people, our sponsor is VitalityCapsules.com, so definitely check out VitalityCapsules.com. The most important thing you can do is, of course, get your free report, which is the Candida Cleaner 2.0 revised version, and this tells you about turpentine and the topical application of turpentine. Okay. So, we are ready for our question-answer session of the show, so we will do that. And our phone number is
1-800. You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's
That's N-U-M-A-N-N-A, republic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutriMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutriMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com. NutriMedical.com for the whole family.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and you're listening to Healing with Dr. Daniels. Okay, so we have questions. Dr. Daniels, if solar flares destroyed all electronics and you were on your own in a town, what five items would you make sure to have with you in your emergency bag in cases for most medical emergencies? Well, my favorite is a Life Straw. This is a little $14 air water purifying system, and it gets rid of 99.9% of all junk in the water. So I have that. Definitely a bottle of turpentine, bottle of castor oil, and a bottle of Vitality capsules. That would be it as far as, and it's really not a big list. And that would pretty much handle all the emergencies. I guess some vinegar and cayenne. But if I had the water purifier and there was enough water to go around, then that would take care of that. Yes. So someone asked, Dr. Dennis, you also have another radio show. Oh, I have two other radio shows. Monthly. The monthly radio show is on Patrick Timpone's, I believe Radio 1 is that network. And then the one on Tuesdays is Blog Talk Radio. Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Okay. Okay, DOI says, thank you, Dr. Daniels. Super good talk. You're welcome. Okay. Oh, our call-in number here for questions is 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. Okay. So we have been born and raised in the dark and treated like mushrooms. We're kept in the dark and fed some not very nutritious stuff. That's true. That's what my father used to always say. He used to always say that. And so he made it clear that he didn't think much of this so-called education that we kids were getting at school. But he told us he had to send us because it was the law, and they would lock him up and send him to jail if he didn't send us to school. And that was the only reason we were going. And so with that firm level of skepticism surrounding our school education, it was really great foundation to simply not take all this authoritative stuff too seriously and realize that, one, they didn't have the answers, and two, if they had the answers, they wouldn't be sharing it with me. Another thing my father told me. He said, if there's anything worth learning at that school, they sure wouldn't be teaching it to you. So he was more or less correct.
Just standing there, and I thought I was only dreaming, yeah. I kissed you then, and then once again.
Only a fool would go to a plumber for brain surgery. But otherwise intelligent people use internet searches to find such gems as Lee Harvey Oswald killed JFK with 3 shots from the rear and 1 shot from the front. They get similar financial guidance when they are investigating cryptocurrencies. RBN listeners know that American currency has not been lawful money for nearly 50 years. Since the thieves at the Fed stole the silver out of the coins and began reneging on redeemable notes in 1968. Now that the dollar has just about inflated totally away and banks want reverse interest to keep your books, the high-tech world has brought you an alternative. What if you could buy, sell, and trade with fellow business people from your home with zero bank fees? If you believe banking tyranny must end, then join the digital currency movement now. Call investigative journalist Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.